Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Marketing is open. Deep right side, three in the far hash mark. Bam! Lowry Marketing. And Marketing, with his fourth triple.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And you heard that play-by-play last night on this very radio station, Chuck Swirsky, calling the play-by-play of the Bulls. We are your flagship for Bulls basketball. Now we go to the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We welcome into the show, back to the show, Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago. And Rob, what do you think about the Bulls making that big trade and bringing in that new guy, Lauri Markkanen? We'd never seen him make baskets before, or at least not the last 2 weeks. So what's true, what's not? What do you make of what we've seen in these four weird preseason games, Rob?
Yeah, that is funny. If this guy's here to stay, it could really really make a difference. But yeah, it's hard to make too much, I think, out of any individual preseason game, especially I just think out of this four-game slate, we really saw a little bit of everything. Good, bad, steps forward, steps back, good process, and growing pains. So I don't know how much I can take away that's lasting and enduring. I will say it was good to see, and Lauri Markkanen certainly seemed relieved to see shots actually falling. Last night in that third game where he had that 4-for-15, I thought the process was good. He was getting open looks. He was pumping and driving and getting to the rim with assertiveness. The shot just wasn't falling. A night like last night shows you how good it can look when it is falling, especially with the different types of positions that Billy Donovan is putting him in, running him through pick and roll, allowing him to get out on the break, cutting off ball, springing off screens off ball to get open three-point looks. When the shots are falling, it all looks great. When they aren't, it doesn't. That feels obvious to say about any NBA player, but it's just especially true of Lauri Markkanen. With him, it seems like it's about confidence a lot of the time, so you got to hope that even though the starters, I don't think the team-wide results were what they wanted last night, but you got to hope that individually he can carry that confidence over to the regular season.
Rob, one of the preseason projects or experiments, I suppose, would be a better way to phrase it, has been Wendell Carter Jr., as in go ahead and shoot. Go ahead and shoot as many threes as you'd like. He's only been one of 12 in the preseason, and Stacey King was saying during the broadcast last night that those are going to fall during the regular season. Do you think he is going to still be encouraged that volume of threes once it starts for real?
Well, and I think last night he had an 0-for-4, and I think that actually pushed him to 1-for-16 by the end of the four game slate. So yeah, so early returns, and I'm someone who's been a believer in the potential of Wendell Carter Jr. and expanding the offensive game. I actually think the shooting struggles kind of cover up what were a couple of nice facilitating moments for him. He had 6 assists last night. So that's certainly a part of the expanded offensive game that I think has gone reasonably well so far. The shooting has obviously not been great. I think there have been moments where it looked like he was passing up looks that maybe he should be taking, open looks that even if they're missing, you just got to work through the growing pains there. So you hope that his confidence isn't dinged by missing 15 to 16 on a four-game sample. I don't think, again, preseason, so you can't read too much into things, especially shooting slumps when you're coming off a nine-month layoff and you're shaking the rust off. The problem with Wendell Carter Jr. is outside of shooting 40% on limited volume at Duke 3 years ago, there isn't much of a body of work at the NBA level to fall back on. So, it's hard to say with confidence that those shots will fall at this point just because we haven't seen it yet at the NBA level. But I certainly think they're doing the right thing, and it's not time to give up, but they're doing the right thing by pushing him to take those because, he has the confidence that he thinks they're going to start to go in eventually. The mechanics have always looked sound to me. Billy Donovan thinks he can do a better job of getting his feet set. That's one thing he said to us pregame last night. It certainly after four preseason games, it's not time to give up because adding that element to his game would open up a lot for the Bulls and open up a lot for him. But I'm having a hard time being gung-ho, completely confident that it's for sure going to come around. We got to see the results first before you can really be fully confident in that.
We're talking Bulls basketball with Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago. He writes about the Bulls, as does Casey Johnson. And we're doing it right here on The Score. The idea of Wendell Carter Jr. running some of the offense, or a lot of the offense early on, running through him at the high post seemed to be, I liked the wrinkle, I liked the opportunity, but now if it's all dependent on him hitting shots or nobody's going to have to worry about him, can they keep doing that if he keeps missing, or is he not comfortable up there because he keeps missing? What do you make of that?
No, that's a great point. That's something I wrote before, even the 0-for-4 last night, is that he certainly has the passing ability and the ability to read the floor and read plays. It seems like that shows up on, just from me watching. That's something Billy Donovan has stressed a lot. He certainly has that ability in a vacuum. But at a certain point, if teams don't even have to guard you from beyond the arc or even from that high post elbow free throw line area, obviously, you're not going to leave someone totally open from that range. But if he's not, even a moderate threat, he doesn't have to be a 40% three-point shooter, but if he's not even a moderate threat, it's really going to clog some of those passing lanes and driving lanes and cutting lanes for teammates that he is able to exploit when they're open. The problem is you're right. He just needs to, with the threat of that jumper, allow that kind of stuff to develop. It's why I think those two pieces of his expanded offensive game are definitely, definitely intrinsically connected. And until the threes start falling, or at least, at least until he proves he can be somewhat of a threat from out there, because really, in that 1-for-16, a lot of those are really, really good looks. A lot of those, he had a lot of very, very clean opportunities. I think largely of a product of defenses not respecting it yet, and they weren't falling. And if that continues over a larger sample size, then I think the expectation for really the full ceiling of Wendell Carter Jr.'s offensive game might have to be adjusted. But again, not there yet, but certainly those two things are connected. I completely agree with you.
Hey, Rob, assuming that you agree with what I'm about to say, are you surprised as to how, professional Patrick Williams, the number 4 overall draft pick, has looked so far in the preseason?
I think that's a great word for it. Assured, looks like he belongs. I don't think he's going to be the rookie that racks up counting stats in a way that, the rookie of the year favorites, I think, by a lot of people. Like a James Wiseman catching Steph Curry lobs all season, or Obi Toppin, racking up counting stats for a bad Knicks team. I don't think that's going to be the type of season that he has necessarily. But I think he really is already the team's second or third best defender. Especially his off-ball instincts are just so mature, I think, for someone his age. He's really, disruptive, athletic. We know about the NBA physicality, the NBA-ready body. And things along those lines. I think the offensive flashes, he has moments. He had a little bit of a struggle shooting the ball last night, but the offensive moments where he has been able to handle and elevate, he's had moments where it looks like that little mid-range pull-up game that he has, even as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, it looks like that certainly has a chance to develop. But the most encouraging part is he doesn't get sped up out there, or at least it doesn't appear that he does. And that jibes with kind of the off-the-court stuff you hear about him in terms of his maturity and curiosity and things like that. So, you know, even just numbers aside, I don't know how you can watch those four preseason games and think Patrick Williams doesn't belong on an NBA floor. I think it was largely encouraging what he showed over the last week.
So can our guest is Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago. We're talking Bulls basketball here on The Score. What do you think of Zach LaVine and Kobe White, the same backcourt? Can they outscore their inability to play defense largely? Are they going to can they run? Can they do it? Can they share one basketball? Is this going to – how long does this go on before something changes if it needs to? Maybe it doesn't. I what do you think, Rob?
It's a good question. I don't know that the ball sharing point is one that I would be concerned about, because I think, you know, and you saw it in the game where they combined for 51, the third preseason game where they kind of took turns, you know, in terms of having the hot hand. Zach, I think, had 20 in the first half, and then he kind of got out of Kobe's way as he heated up in that third quarter, where I think he went 7-10 from the floor. It was just infernal stuff. So I don't think that's as much of an issue. The defensive side is certainly, I think, a pretty big point of concern, especially when you think about how many prolific backcourts there are in the NBA these days. I think they'll certainly get the full experience against Atlanta in the opener. When you think about having to corral guys like Trae Young and Bogdan Bogdanovic. I like the effort, I think, in the preseason that I saw from Zach, creating a lot of deflections, super active. It's clear, and it was clear at points last year, too, that he's really, really focused and intent on getting better on that side of the ball. Now, whether that actualizes, we got to see. Kobe, another one where I think the effort was there, but it's, you know, the results just aren't always are. That's an area of the floor I would be more concerned about than maybe the offensive side. In terms of how far it'll go, I mean, I think it's this year. I think this is the kind of moment of reckoning year for a lot of players on this roster, and I think that starting backcourt certainly counts among that, because they didn't, you know, the new front office didn't change this roster much this offseason. But once they get a good sample size of seeing how these guys fit together, you know, the trade deadline comes up next offseason when they'll have some cap flexibility comes up. And I think that's the time when changes start to happen. So, you know, I know this is a young group, but the onus really is right out of the gate to prove that not only do they fit in terms of a long-term fit for this Bulls team, but that they all fit together in that same kind of way. So I don't think, you know, I don't think that they'll have very long to prove that at all. I think the time is now.
And with those two guys, with Kobe White and Zach LaVine, I foresee a healthy competition brewing between those two, because Kobe White's going to start from game one. You could already tell he's imposing his will a little bit more. Do you think it's going to be a healthy competition, or could there be conflict there with those two eventually?
I think they've had such a strong relationship from the beginning. I mean, really, if you go back to the beginning of last season, Zach was one of Kobe's first advocates. After that, I think it was the second game of the season last year in Memphis. The Bulls had a comeback victory where Kobe dropped 25, outplayed John Morant. And Zach was one of the first people to say, listen, this is what I've been saying all training camp. This kid's got it. Throughout the season, that persisted. You know, as it got later and the season looked more lost and Kobe started playing better, and it was kind of like, why isn't this guy starting? Zach was hard on the train of, we can play together. He takes pressure off me as a scorer because, and maybe it'll be different this season, but last year, I mean, it was really just, if Zach wasn't making shots, there was just nothing offensively going for this team. And you know, he garnered a lot of defensive attention because of that, and Kobe helps in that regard. So I think that's healthy. I just think there's such a healthy relationship between the two of them that I don't think either of them are individual stat guys or let me get mine before the team gets theirs guys overall. I think they both have kind of a team-focused approach, and you see the way that Kobe's talked about wanting to take on point guard responsibilities and be more of a facilitator, be more of a playmaker. Now, again, that's another one where this preseason is a mixed bag. You know, almost as many turnovers as assists, and, you know, there are flashes where it's there, there's flashes where it's not. So I wouldn't expect anything unhealthy interpersonally to pop up, but if the basketball fit isn't there, you know, like I said, this front office isn't going to play games. They're not married to any of these guys outside of perhaps Patrick Williams, the guy that they just drafted. So they'll do whatever they got to do. But I wouldn't expect anything unhealthy chemistry-wise, even if the on-court stuff doesn't fully reach its potential.
Rob Shaver's our guest here on The Score, NBC Sports Chicago. We're talking Bulls basketball. So we're coming up. Christmas is in a week. How long before the Bulls play on Christmas again at any point in time, at any of those games?
Yeah, I was actually a couple weeks ago, you kind of forecast your schedule and you figured that the season's going to get moved up. And even before they announced the schedule, it was pretty easy to check off Christmas Day as an off day. So that was fine with me, but it might be another year or two here at the very least. But, you know, at least we could say it's a trajectory that you could start tracking is going upward at this point.
Hey, last guy I want to ask you about is Chandler Hutchison. I love his athleticism, some of the power dunks he's hit throughout the preseason. He hit some threes last night. What's your scouting report on him and maybe his ceiling?
Yeah, no, I've liked what I saw at Hutch this preseason. For him, it's always been availability. I mean, you could say that with a lot of guys on this team, but him especially so. You know, athletic, long, rangy, I mean, really intense. You know, I think he dove into the second or third row last night on an innocuous first quarter play. You know, chasing a loose ball and had a pretty nice save. So that just kind of shows you the intensity that he plays with when he is out there. Really capital E explosive finisher.
Yeah.
In terms of dunking and things like that. I just think he's a smart defensive player that can really be dangerous on the fast break when you get him running. The problem with him has also been the three-point shooting. He made 2 of 4 threes last night. Is that sustainable? I don't know. But that would certainly be an encouraging element to add. I think as a seventh or eighth man for this team, and just as another, you know, 6'8" athletic guy that can kind of toggle between the 3 and 4 spots along with Otto Porter Jr. and Patrick Williams, I just think that's such a valuable archetype in the league where there are so many explosive wing scorers. It's a position the Bulls just haven't. I mean, there were games last year where they were, you know, running Kobe at the 3, Ryan Arcidiacono at the 3. Like, that's just such a valuable archetype for this team that they haven't really had because of injuries over the last few years. So, you know, I love what I've seen out of Hutch this preseason. I think if he could stay healthy, I don't see why he can't have a year that surprises people. I certainly agree that that he's someone to certainly watch and be intrigued by this year.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I've been seduced a little bit by his dunk game, so I think that's probably why I'm asking more than anything. I mean, he reminds me a little bit, as far as his dunks are concerned, at least not his whole game, but of Taj Gibson, the way Taj was just like those angry, you know,
sure,
way over the rim, powerful dunks. So I think that's why I'm asking more than anything. But he did hit a couple threes last night, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and it's really the defensive end for me where his value truly lies. Just he could switch out onto guards. He's obviously big and athletic enough to kind of hang with bigger guys too, and just really has a knack for the ball. You know, big. I think if he, you know, gets an extended sample size here, he could be a guy that racks up steals and blocks and things of that nature, and just a body at that wing spot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Rob, we appreciate your time. Have a good holiday. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to speaking to you the rest of the Billy Donovan, thank God he's not Jim Boylan tour.
Yeah, it should be a fun season. Always good to talk to you guys.
All right, thanks. That's Rob Shaver, NBC Sports Chicago. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have good injury news for the Bears, and even better, we have what Mark heard. We have a number of things that Mark Rohde will bring us. And as we go out today, Stifler is in producing in place of Trash Panda, who has been moved up to adult shows. We've lost another one, Mark. And
Jesus.
So Stifler is here. Although I got an email from Alice, and that was very nice. Alice is adding to the momness of the show. We love sweet Alice. And hope her and Shooter are healthy through the holidays and into next year. But
great.
Stifler, I think we're going to start rolling out the catalog. I think the end of Hanukkah, the coming of Christmas, we need to play part of the Saturday Suckage catalog, which would now would be Christmas time for the Jews. So let's go out with that before we come back with what Mark heard. Chicago Sports Radio.
On Christmas Eve, the Gentiles gather round the Christmas tree. They stay at home and party with their Goyisha family. They disappear one day each year and pass the eggnog round. But it's all right, because that's the night the Jews control the town.
sitting in bed. Maybe next year they'll learn how to hold their booze.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We don't have turds on this team.
It's time for What Mark Heard, a rundown of the best sound coming out of Hallis Hall this week on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Yes, indeed. What Mark Heard. That's our new signature segment. Our guy at Hallis Hall, Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. And we start this segment with good news, good injury news for the Bears. The Vikings will be without middle linebacker Eric Kendricks. He's out. The Vikings will be without tight end Kyle Rudolph and his four TDs in his career against the Bears, averaging 9.3 yards per reception against the Bears. He will be out. So, using that going forward, what did Mark hear this week? Mark?
Steve, it's unavoidable to have heard some of the things Mitchell Trubisky was saying. And there are two things that he said. Let's start with his future with the organization. Trubisky was asked if he wants another year with the Bears.
I'm trying to beat the Minnesota Vikings this weekend. That's I've thought about it, but thoughts come and go. And right now, I know I just got to stay focused on what's about to happen this weekend, and that's just preparing every day for the Vikings.
Steve, I think it's pretty clear that neither side is particularly interested in the other heading into this offseason. The Bears made that clear with their actions, as in not picking up the fifth-year option to begin the year, and then benching him as fast as they could in game three of the season. And now Trubisky has, you know, kind of admitted that he was sore over the benching. He didn't see it coming. Now here he is. And it just seems like this is headed for a mutual breakup. How do you see it?
I see that. I see both teams jockeying for leverage at this point. I could see why Mitch has hurt feelings, but Mitch has three games to kind of convince people otherwise. If I were Mitch Trubisky, I would not trust this coaching staff at all. I would never show up to Matt Nagy because I think he's guilty of coaching malpractice. The idea that Mitch Trubisky can throw on the run, was more accurate throwing on the run, only has to see half the field, was known immediately. And Matt Nagy tried to turn him into a pocket passer, and at the worst possible time, they put him in the pocket against Detroit that turned into a key turnover that really looks like it will sabotage the season. I'm not saying the season's over. I would never trust Matt Nagy with my future if I were Mitch Trubisky. I don't know where you got to go, but what gives you reason to believe that Matt Nagy learns anything when he couldn't coach this quarterback that he knew was only this kind of quarterback 3 years ago? That's the way he was. I wouldn't trust him if I were Mitch Trubisky, and I think that's Mitch Trubisky's leverage is I need to leave, and you guys are going to be stuck with Nick Foles. And I think that gives Mitch Trubisky leverage.
Yeah, related to that, to Matt Nagy, something I've noticed about him that's different from other coaches and even players in the organization. He never says anything that allows you to read between the lines or infer something different than directly what he's saying. And a lot of what he says is disingenuous, as is the case with all coaches. They're just saying the right things and what people want to hear. I would love to have like a real conversation with Matt Nagy. You know what I mean? Like the way off the record after he's retired and he doesn't like, cause we're never going to know what he is really thinking about the way the offense has been since 2018, because he's the one guy, think about it, like as affable and as nice of a guy as Matt Nagy is, he answers every question. Sometimes he'll take more than he's even supposed to take. Sometimes he'll say, you know what, go ahead, let's finish this thing out. But he doesn't really, there's nothing that he says that feels like, you know, it's total. Like when he's asked about, is this real with Mitchell Trubisky, and he's straight up, yes. Does he really think that what he's seeing is real? I would just love to have that real conversation with Matt Nagy. But let's get on to the second what Mark heard quote here. And it's another one from Mitchell Trubisky. It has to do with the fact that the offense has started to look better lately, and they're doing things that they didn't do earlier in the season. The question is attached here to Mitchell Trubisky, so it's self-imposed. Here it is.
You're talking about these changes that you went to the coaching staff and asked for, and how they've had such a positive impact on the offense. Why didn't you ask for them earlier, or did you ask for them earlier and they just weren't willing to implement them at that time? And how do you think, had they started earlier, things might be different?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess you never know. I was asking. I was always putting my input in, but you can't change the past. So we are where we are now, and the offense has progressing over the last few weeks. And all we can do is try to stay on this path that we are now and keep getting better. Can't change the past. I can't put myself back in the game weeks ago or anything like that. But it's got to continue with this constant communication, just having the open dialogue and always doing what is best for the Bears offense.
I will say that at least from the beginning, they have always said that they were going to throw a ton at Mitch, like in training camp, and then pare it down to what he's more comfortable with. And I don't know, maybe Trubisky wasn't as comfortable imposing his will then. It sounds like that's what he's doing now.
Those are the two cuts. I got to say, I thought you were going to troll me with two Mitch Trubisky cuts. Those are two cuts where he sounded far more mature
and less like the drooling Tim Tebow-ness we heard a couple weeks ago, where it was just cliche after cliche after cliche. And he did it. I could read between those lines and saying they wouldn't listen to me. They didn't trust me. They didn't listen to me. They wanted me to do stuff for which I wasn't capable. And everybody except Matt Nagy saw it. He wasn't going to read defenses. He wasn't going to be a pocket passer. And if it really mattered that winning this year was the thing, then you should have played to his strengths. And that's another reason. If I'm Mitch Trubisky, I don't trust this coach to put me in a position to win. I don't know that he's capable of evaluating me as a passer, as a quarterback, based on my strengths, because they don't fit into his inflexible idea of what the Kansas City Andy Reid offense is. That, I think, is Matt Nagy's biggest problem, and he's sort of been forced to just do what his quarterback wants. Matt, don't you remember Mr. Trubisky talking about this? I want this. I want more on the run. I want that tight end in there. He was talking about doing exactly what he's doing now. At least I remember that being the case. I don't know if it was when it was this year, but I think that he's said this before, and the coaching staff either didn't give him the gravitas of that, or just didn't want to listen to him because Matt Nagy wasn't going to listen to him. Matt Nagy was going to run what Matt Nagy wanted.
That might all be right, but I think it's more of what you're about to hear from Bill Lazor, and that is that Mitch is using his voice more. He's using it more confidently. Steve, take a listen to Bill Lazor, and then I want to hear what you think about this.
I think Mitch is doing a great job of speaking up and giving his opinion. And it could be very simple things, or it could be bigger things. So a bigger thing would be, let's put it this way. Usually a quarterback will know, man, the head coach really likes this play. You know, I mean, he Mitch has been here for a while, right? And so he's been with coach for a while. So when there's a play and he really knows that the head coach likes the play, it could be hard for a player to say, gosh, I don't like that play this week, or I don't like how such and such player ran that play. And usually those are or I don't like the way their corners play, so I'm not sure if that's a good play this week. I mean, those are usually the reasons why a player wouldn't like it, unless it's new. You know, if something's new, then maybe it takes a guy a little bit. But for Mitch, like right now, I have great confidence that if Mitch really isn't feeling something, he'll say it. He'll just say it. It's not a big deal. And that communication, I think, is what you strive for with professional players.
And that suggests to me, Steve, that while Trubisky probably gave an idea of what he liked, it didn't sound like, again, I'll use the phrase, he was imposing his will as much, and he's in that has nothing to lose mode. So I think that this is all just coming out of Trubisky now. Does that change anything about what you were thinking, hearing what Bill Lazor just said?
No, I read the comments. I'm really glad you played that. I didn't know if we were going to have that. I'm really glad, because I thought this was a bit of a flashpoint that underscored my belief that this is a coaching staff that is so desperate to win games that they will even play to the strengths of their quarterback. Again, I do not think Matt Nagy knows how to coach the players in front of him or the team in front of him. And I don't think forcing Mitch Trubisky to hindering his running around and forcing him to be in the pocket and to read all of the defenses while you're trying to win, especially with that defense on the other side, just as coaching malpractice. So when I, hearing Lazor, after reading the comments, I'm really glad you played them, because this underscores my belief that Mitch Trubisky would have said this before. The coaches didn't give him the respect enough to listen. And now they're desperate enough, they don't have any leverage, they don't have a hammer. Or what's their hammer? What are they going? Which quarterback are they going to go to if they don't listen to Mitch Trubisky? Which quarterback are they going to go to if they don't game plan around Mitch Trubisky's strengths? Yeah. Only out of desperation are we seeing playing to Mitch Trubisky's strength. And even then, it took Bill Lazor, Mitch Trubisky fumbling in the pocket when Bill Lazor never should have put him there in a position that important, in a game, in a time that important. And when you listen to Bill Lazor say, well, Matt Nagy said, let's go for it, let's be aggressive. No, the point is to win the game, and you don't know how to win the game. Now they seem to be coming around to it. We're playing to our quarterback strengths. Are we in year three of this with Matt Nagy, right? We're going to play to our quarterback strengths? Isn't that the most basic thing a coach is supposed to do? Put your team, your players in a position to succeed? And it's taken this long to do that? I'm very frustrated. If I were Mr. Biskey, I would leave in a hurry. And if I were a Bears fan, I would not want this guy coaching my team anymore.
But all right. All right. No, I got all good points. Well taken. Let's move on to Chuck Pagano. Steve, you like red wine, yeah?
Oh, see, yes. All I can get. Yeah. Yeah. I will drink it. I'll take it by IV. I'll use it with a straw if you want.
So you like red wine. Do you like Roquan? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Red wine last night was 19 Crimes with Snoop Dogg on the cover, on the label.
What?
Yes. Snoop is into everything. He has been the third man in a hockey booth. He's been the second or third man in a boxing booth or MMA booth. Yeah, boxing booth for that Tyson Roy Jones Jr. thing. And Snoop is now, and as well as being friends with the doyen of domesticity, Martha Stewart, he is now on the label of 19 Crimes, a red blend wine that is really good. So yeah.
And what did you have that with? Well, now I want to know what you're eating with it.
Charcuterie fromage et vin.
What? I don't know what that is.
Cold cuts, cheese, and wine.
Oh wow! You
charcuterie
own...
is cold cuts.
Okay.
Fromage is cheese.
Okay.
And vin.
Wow.
Which is
fancy,
bread.
Fancy. Did you have a date last night? Did you have company?
It's much more delicious if you say it in French. Food always tastes better in French or Italian. I mean, you could right? Like, and it's more fun when it's fun to say, like Chateau Neuf de Pape. That makes the French wine taste even better. And if you say Chinchot et pommes frites, isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that sound much more fun than just saying a hot dog and fries?
Right, cheese and crackers.
Yeah, there you go. So that's it. So that's my
wow so fancy night at the Rosenblum house last night. Okay, so you like red wine. Do you also like what you've seen from Roquan Smith this year?
I think he has been huge, a breakout. He's all over. He's been the sideline to sideline guy. He's been the straight ahead. He's shown he's gotten some guys as fast as he is, as talented as he is, make up for mistakes with that kind of speed or that wild ability. He just looks like one of the smarter players I've seen play defense for the Bears, a team that's known for quality defensive players. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. He is Brian Urlacher without the size and without quite the speed. So he's actually not Brian Urlacher. But since you like Roquan Smith and you like red wine, you are going to love what you're about to hear from the Bears defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano. Here's Chuck.
What's impressed you about the way Roquan Smith has played this season? And can you compare it to anybody you've coached before or seen before?
Yeah, I mean, I was around some decent guys. One in Baltimore was pretty good. But this guy prepares and practices just like that dude, 52. He's playing at a really high level, and he's been really consistent. You know, I can just see his play, getting better and better and better, every single week. And he goes out and he has dominant performances. Last week was no different. You know, he did one heck of a job, and he's taken advantage of some opportunities that are presenting themselves, in the run game and the pass game, and coming up with a couple sacks, in certain situations, and guys playing off each other. So, really proud of you know, his leadership, his communication. If you guys could be at practice and watch us go through a walkthrough, watch us go through a run period, a blitz period, a 7-on-7. I mean, he's like he's getting the front lined up. He's making checks that normally backers don't make. You know, him and Danny working in unison together, it's pretty unique. And it's a byproduct of that kid's preparation. He watches a ton of film. So come game day, I mean, it's no surprise he can play as fast and make as many plays as he does.
Wait a minute. Was the wine stuff on there? Did I miss it?
No, but the Ray Lewis stuff was on there.
Oh, man.
That was the unnamed 52. Wasn't
like
Khalil
a fine
Mack?
Wine. He's getting better, you know, with age.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I blew it on that one. He was very specific about he was getting really specific and into the nitty gritty about certain kinds of wines, like Duckworth wine or something. I don't know wine
Duckhorn.
Well enough. Duckhorn.
Duckhorn,
right. Yeah. And like a fine cat, like he really got into it. That's what I was wanting to express. So, wow, I just really built that whole segment up. And, at least there was a 52 comparison. Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, Mark, but that's, you know what? That's the beauty of Saturday Suckage. You're very on brand with that. But the idea of, if my first response is, okay, come on, Ray Lewis, look, dude. And he was... And I could see that. I could see that as a my initial reaction as a problem. And I'm thinking, so what's the difference? Whether you compare him to Ray Lewis or not, set that as the standard. There, if that's what you want to be the bar, that's great. Why wouldn't you? I don't think you get an argument from Roquan Smith either. Yeah, it's okay. If I get up to that. So I don't think it's too much. Maybe it's because he's out of town and like you came on. Would it be worse if Chuck Pagano said he's the next Urlacher than saying he's the next Ray Lewis? Would there be more perceived pressure?
Probably, yeah, and there'd probably be a lot more pushback on that one, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so maybe
Urlacher.
Because he's out of town and Roquan Smith hasn't been associated with a double murder or pled guilty to anything involving that. Maybe that makes it easier. We still have more what Mark heard, right?
I just got one more cut. Yeah, if you want.
Oh, okay.
We need to. Yeah, you want to do it now or we got to take a break?
I would like to take a break and then we'll come back and we'll complete what Mark heard. And we'll get on with that. How does that sound?
That sounds splendid.
All right. Then we will do that. He's Mark Rohde. We are doing what Mark heard on Saturday Suckage on The Score.
You know, his confidence, I think we all mature, you know, with age, you know. So like a fine wine, he's getting better, you know, with age. He's not Opus 1 yet. Anything near that, you know. Maybe a Duckhorn, a cake bread. He's moving up the ladder. You know, a Northern California Napa Valley, really nice cab. But he's maturing, and he's so locked in, and he's so focused right now. You know, and he just wants to do great things for his teammates. You know, he's a selfless dude.
Okay, there it is.
For, Mark? Is that
That's
it?
What I was looking for. Yep,
well,
one segment later, I got it.
And Duckhorn is, you know what, bring money. That's all I can say. And here's the dirty little secret. There are only two kinds of wine. Those you like and those you don't. Price has nothing to do with it. Where it's made has nothing to do with it. You either like it or you don't. And you don't have to spend $40 on a bottle. You don't have to spend $100 on a bottle. You could spend $5 on a bottle and get quality stuff because you like it. That's really wine, art, music. There's only two kinds, those you like and those you don't. All right, lecture rant over. Now, what Mark heard, what's next?
All right, the finale, a little bit more fun with Chuck. Hey, $2 Chuck. Did you ever drink $2 Chuck?
Well played.
Thank you.
So good.
Thank you. There was a place on Southport that used to have $2 Chuck.
Buck Chuck now for the importing fee. Yeah, but same.
Yeah, idea. I'm sure it is because that was literally 15 years ago. When I would frequent that place on Southport. But anyway, So Chuck Pagano was asked about Bilal Nichols, and there is some discomfort in the response which he gave.
Chuck, you know, Bilal last year had the hand injury, maybe didn't have the season he wanted, but what have you come to appreciate about Bilal and the traits that he brings to you guys this year?
He's just steady. You know, he's a quiet, you know, playmaking competitor. You know, don't say a lot, not real flashy, not real sexy, not this, that, and the other. I mean, he might tell you he's sexy. I don't know. You know, a significant other may tell you that. I don't, his mom may, I doubt his mom would, but a couple of teammates might tell him that. Urban, Brent might say that. But he's just a, he's a grinder.
I mean, he got in so deep with that.
Uh-huh.
And Bilal came on with us yesterday. It was like, I just want to clear this up. I don't know where any of that stuff was coming from. So I love, like, Pagano has proven to be a guy who, as serious as he kind of looks, he comes in, like, with a premeditated idea to be entertaining, which I appreciate about Chuck
sure.
Pagano. There's hits and misses. But when he comes in, man, he's been around long enough to know that he knows he's not going to give anything away. So why not come on and do a little comedy filibustering?
I love first of all, I love your $3 Chuck, your $2 Chuck line. That is just so good, so appropriate. But what happened in between the time that Pagano said that and Bilal Nichols came on, what happened in the middle of that was Kate Urban, who we've referenced before, and I think we did it in What Are You Doing, Wegner, that we'll do next hour, but she came on and tweeted, well, that escalated quickly.
I didn't see that. That's
yeah, she quote tweeted, she quote tweeted what Pagano said, what somebody captured about the Urban, he'd call him sexy, and Kate Urban, Brent's wife, tweeted, well, that escalated quickly. They quote tweeted. So that's a wonderful.
That's, so
that's a great way to end it. I love that. And I think you're right. I think Pagano just comes on and says, much like, he's a tolerable version of Scott Boras, who has comes up with cloying, just tiresome, wear your ass out metaphors that just don't work. Pagano gets in and out. You know, he blitzes it, and that's it. And he's done.
Yeah.
And
amen. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Like, look, there's very little that we're ever going to get from these guys that's real, real stuff. So, and Pagano's like, you know what? Let's just do shtick. I'm coming in here. It's amateur hour. Let's go. I'm going to give the people what they want, and that's comedy.
That's right. And Duckhorn. All right.
And Duckhorn.
So, that's it for $3 Chuck right now. We're gonna take a break. And we're gonna talk with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, talk more Bears next hour, and we'll do What Are You Doing, Wegner? And this is quite the year-end extravaganza that we will bring you. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.